Just make sure that this is on. We know the story of about 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and for reasons of safety, he moved over to Nazareth. Following those events and the events that he led in his life that led him to be called the Christ, the Messiah, of who he was, who he was born as, we celebrate that time. We celebrate the time of his birth because of who he is, because of what he's done for us. We have this time of year where we decorate, we wear Christmas sweaters and vests in the same word. We do good things, though. We're filled with this Christmas spirit, this good cheer, and we do things like handing the lady who's cold in the seat in the row in front of you a jacket. We do things like holding the door open for people, driving better, behaving ourselves, being good. I believe this is the time of year when most charities are better funded. This is the time of year where I personally witness more forgiveness and mercy just from the common people, not even Christians themselves, just from everyone. The qualities described in the scripture reading from Galatians 5. Peace, love, joy, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. They're just rampant. And the rest of the year? Maybe I don't notice as much bad behavior this time of year because when I'm driving in the ambulance, we've got Christmas music blaring, and I just tune it out. But I think maybe that we have a little bit less of that cheerfulness the rest of the year as people. People do all kinds of bad things around the holiday seasons, but also outside of them, I think it's more prevalent. And not necessarily bad as, you know, murder. But I equate a lot of things to driving, because I spend all day long driving in my work. And I drive in L.A., so I can talk about the L.A. people, because I don't think I'm going to offend anyone here. But I see all kinds of things. I see people pulling out in front of others, people taking turn lanes until all the way, like, the off-ramp is already, they're already on the off-ramp, but then they just get right over. People cut in five lanes across to get to their off-ramp. They stop on the freeway in 65-mile-per-hour traffic so that they can get to their exit. People do things that they know they shouldn't. And I'm not talking about not being able to function correctly, you know, when you can't back into where you're trying to go. That's not what I'm talking about. I mean purposely doing something that you know is wrong because it benefits you at the time. And being in LA all the time, I find that most of the people who do these things are also the people who get the angriest when it's done to them. I'd like to talk about driving a lot. I think this is my third sermon talking about driving. The reason I like to do that is because I think driving gives you insight into a person's character. The person who obeys the rules of the road all the time, no matter what, which is not me. That's the person who is determined. That's the person who goes to work every day of the year and never calls out sick. The person who cuts someone off because they need to go somewhere and they're more important. They're the people who worry more about themselves than others. And you have me, and I kind of speed when I think it's okay, when I think it doesn't harm anyone. This relationship, I think, between the holiday season and the rest of the year, I think it can give us some insight as well into a person's faith. Because it seems like during the holiday season, we as people are cheerful and we're excited and we're ready to just dive right into being a good person. But then the rest of the year, we're just kind of melancholy or negative. And that's kind of, to me, like how a person's faith can be sometimes. Because you go to church for a time, a year, a few years, maybe you grew up in the church, but at some point you feel like you don't see many changes. Like you don't, last year was the same as this year. Nothing's changed in the world. Everything's the same. People are just as bad, or they're even worse this year than they were last year. Things are just going downhill. You see all this bad happening, drivers cutting people off, but also other things that are going on in the world, the kind of selfishness and just disregard to morality. After a while of not seeing change, you just kind of lose your drive. Or maybe it's just within your personal life. You wanted something fixed. Maybe you lost your leg. Family member passed away. Lost your job. Not doing well in school. Not doing good on a test. Things aren't going well at work. And then you ask God to fix it. I need this fixed. And if it doesn't get fixed, you don't see good things happening, and you kind of lose your faith. Even during Christmas time, we just need to physically celebrate things. Christmas time is a celebration of Jesus Christ, our Messiah's physical being born into this world. We have an entire holiday season with decorations and lights and good cheer surrounding a month of good cheer for a physical birth. When really, his glory came more on Easter, when he returned to glory. When we were saved, it was on Easter. But we don't celebrate that as much, I think, as we celebrate his physically being born. I'd like to read 1 Peter. 1 Peter is written in response to churches throughout different provinces in Rome, and the Christians there are being persecuted. They're suffering. And they're calling for help to God, to the apostles, to anyone who can end their suffering. In this letter, Peter reinforces their faith and reminds them that they are believers and they're to be called to be righteous, to be righteous, to be right with God, to be good. I'll start reading in chapter 2, verse 18. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. And then Peter calls for children to behave in their roles, behave their parents, behave those older than them. He calls for wives in their roles to behave. He calls for husbands to behave within their roles. He calls for elders and all people to be merciful, compassionate, humble. And he calls for people to obey their governments. Read 1 Peter 4. We'll continue on. Chapter 4. I'll read verses 1 through 19. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for human evil desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past, doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their recklessness, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and sober in mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. How would you feel if you're in that situation and this is the letter that you get, the response from Peter, an apostle of God? You ask for help, and he tells you to be good. You want to be freed. You want a rebellion, most likely. You want to be saved. And instead, he says, be good. Obey. Suffering is a good thing. Be thankful that you're suffering for Christ. As if we should be happy about that. But this is the response that Peter gives. They're told to behave. Elders behave. Everyone behave. Be good. Exemplify those qualities that were talked about earlier. You see, so often we get up, caught up on the physical things. The things that we see, the things that we do, the obstacles. But Peter redirects their attention. He says the physical things are not important. That's not what I'm worried about. While you're in this suffering state, I'm worried about your spiritual health, because that's what's important. Throughout all of this writing that he gives, he reminds them, you're God's people, you're Christians. Once you did this, but don't do that anymore. If this happens to you, continue to be good. Continue to be a good Christian. Your spirit is important. Remember that in the end, we'll have salvation. That's what's important. These physical things are not. No matter our own place, whether we have it very well off, as most of us in the U.S. do, or wherever we're living, under hardship, slavery, slaves, obey your masters. We're not just automatically freed. Our problems aren't automatically solved. But what matters has already been accomplished. Jesus already died on the cross for our sins. The important part is that we've already won, whether it feels like it or not. So the people who are suffering and they want something fixed, God, do this. God, just take this away. Don't do this, God. This is all I ask. These people who challenge God to fix everything and set everything right, I wonder if they realize that what they're asking for is the end of the world. There is a time when God will set everything right, and one time only. It'll be the end of the world. And for what reason do these people ask for that? For just do this and I'll believe in you. Do this and I'll continue going to church. Prove yourself. End the world so that I'll believe. That seems kind of selfish, doesn't it? To ask for the end of the world. At the very least, everyone else should be warned first, right? Do your due diligence and warn everyone to get right with God and then ask for the end of the world. But how much time do we need? A day? What if our nephew is camping out in the wilderness and can't be reached? A year? How much time should be committed? It's easy to get caught up in the world is such a bad place. There's so much wrong being done to me. I've been wronged. It's so hard to constantly do the right thing under those circumstances. Whether you're driving on the road and everyone else is cutting you off and you're just continually getting set back, or whether it's in life. But man's capacity for evil is matched by our capacity for good. Our capacity to destroy is matched by our capacity to create. So instead of destroying, we should create. Hope. That's what the Spirit gives us. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope. Romans 5:3-5. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. This holiday season, this Christmas day coming up, be filled with hope. Be filled with good cheer and carry that on to the rest of the year. Let's sing.